Tom.
America Tonight. Each and every show, we tee it up with talk radio news. Luke Vargas this time around. Luke, big day for President Obama. Huge speech talking about all kinds of things. Obviously, it was terrorism-focused. Overall, looking at what he had to say and then some of the reaction to it, I'm just going to ask you, because I know you paid attention, what would you give him on a grading scale like A, B, C, D? What would you have said that, you know, that speech was like?
He certainly gets, well, let's arrive at a grade at the end, but I'd say he gets props for really stressing to a war-wary American public that we are ending the global war on terror, that we're moving towards what he said, targeted dismantling of terror networks. And then he said, actually, one of his best turns of praise, I think he said, we're not just going to let anybody call themselves a terrorist and expect us to put boots on the ground and go into those countries and get distracted. I think that's the kind of talk that people really like to hear right now. But it's worth remembering that what may be the reason for this kind of speech and when it happened is that the Obama administration had to admit that it's actually 4 Americans that have been killed overseas by drone attacks. And part of what Obama's job in this speech to do was to sort of tell Americans that they're living in a new era, that we're going to try to avoid these many trillion-dollar overseas commitments with troops, but that in its place, we've sort of settled on this other way of taking out threats to the country. And in the long term, I think that's still going to be unsettling to people. So, let's go with a B for tonight for winning on some things. But I think he hasn't really won over all the people he'll need to, because this does seem like a festering issue.
I agree with you. In fact, drones or no drones, call in tonight, 855-266-5283, 855-266-KATE. So we transition from the speech, and we'll break it all up a little bit later here on the show, but this was horrifying to me. I talked about this a ton, Luke, on a previous show, watching, and I can remember walking down the streets of London, watching what happened in that attack, the response afterwards, the attackers not running, just yelling things out, ranting and filming their rants. That was pretty scary. What was the reaction UN-wise to that?
I think people were disturbed. I made a little list on a notepad that I will have to shred up because it looks a little strange. But it was a list of all the terror attacks, all the massacres and shootings that have sort of become part of the public memory right now. And this one stood out for me. This is an instance where the terrorist or the suspect in this case has also been able to not only survive their attack, but then to sort of provide an explanation for the cameras. Essentially to explain what they were doing. And I think that's a dangerous, new reality and a new possibility. I remember growing up, I was in sixth grade during September 11th, and I remember the lesson from that Flight 93 that crashed in Shanksville was that if you're an adult, particularly a male and something I aspire to be, you can, team up with a few other guys and overpower someone if it's just a knife they're wielding. And it was so interesting to watch the people on the street in London react or not react in this case when there was a man who had obviously just killed a soldier. I don't know if it was clear at the time it was a soldier, but had been attacking a man on the street that they allowed him to stay there, and that it took 20 minutes for the armed police to come in and subdue this man. It's just really chilling stuff.
Yeah, the length of time, I would say the same thing. Okay, here's another thing that's pretty big, and it's in your backyard, in a sense. You sent me a link to it, and I was like, wow, you got to be kidding me. So Luke's mom is sort of famous, folks. She took a photo of police in her family's backyard in Watertown, from her family's backyard in Watertown, Massachusetts, because that's where Luke's from. And apparently is it going to be published in Harper's Magazine?
It's already been published in the Providence Journal and I guess in Harper's. I came across this by accident last night while just going on a really good aggregator website. And it came up and I said, oh my gosh, that's my living room in my backyard. And I had called my mom up while she was being held in her house for a day during the Boston Manhunt. And I told her, hey, you take food photographs. You might as well point it at the police officers who are sure to come by the house anytime soon. And this really captivating photo of a New Hampshire state trooper holding a semi-automatic machine gun on my patio while you can see the MSNBC playing on the television indoors at the same time has apparently made it into this article that just criticizes the fact that 9,000 people, police officers, weren't able to catch this guy, and they really paralyzed the city, perhaps giving in to terror to some degree. It's an interesting read, and in contrast to what we saw in London today, sort of the inaction and how long it took police to respond, and perhaps an underwhelming response by the law enforcement, a criticism here in Harper's of the over-engagement of police.
Yeah, there you go, over-engagement. All right, so your mom and your family being in the middle of that, what was her take? It would be interesting to hear what a resident had to say. What does she say to you? Because I'm sure you had massive conversations about this. How did she feel about it?
Well, I think she's starting to come around to sort of the concern that I had just voiced to you. Though I think at the time, people were comforted to some extent by the helicopter noise, as disconcerting as I guess that was in some terms. But I did hear an account from just a neighbor who was writing on Twitter in response to this Harper's article. So it's sort of funny how everyone from my life starts appearing in other media when a story like this happens. But this person was saying they went out for a jog to walk around the neighborhood that day instead of staying holed up inside, and how uneasy and uncomfortable they felt, feeling like they might be targeted by the police as somehow suspicious just for going outside. They, you know, the person had said they accepted the level of risk that was inherent. They would report anything if they saw it, but that they really just needed to go outside, and they needed to feel comfortable and needed to feel relief, and they thought they could do that outside. The precedent from Watertown, unfortunately, is that it seems to be an accepted way of dealing with an event like this to prevent people from making that decision. And there's a lot of questions that are raised in that new paradigm, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And also the UNDRC, you had a little nugget for us on that.
You know, it's things are hard to resolve here. They're hard to resolve in the Congo. You've got a situation in which the Ban Ki-moon and the head of the World Bank are in Congo saying they're going to drop $1 billion in development aid into this country. And as we talk about how America and the world engages overseas, the benefits are tremendous. You could really turn around this country with $1 billion, or you could just make the stakes on this very precarious battleground all that much greater and destabilize things more. And I think it's we're at the very beginning of a new chapter for that country with all this money coming in and political attention, but the story is unwritten, and it seems as unstable as the story here in the United States. So it's a lot to think about today with all these news topics. I'm ready to hit the bed and just put this day behind us. Lots of big topics.
And putting the day behind us, then coming up this weekend, you're making your way to Cape Cod. We want to take bets on the show. Luke, how many hours? I'm really going to do this. I'm going to give a prize to the winner. You're going to win a copy of my book if you can exact. So you're going to have to tell us how long it takes Luke to go from. Are you in right in New York City?
Yes.
From New York?
I guess I'm a little further east.
Brooklyn. All right. Brooklyn to Cape Cod. How long will that journey take Luke? We'll find out. Good luck on your travels, my friend, and thanks for coming on the show. Have a good holiday. Bye-bye. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common-sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Here on America Tonight, we've got some interesting news, sadly, some breaking news. Don't know a lot of details, but the I-5 bridge collapsed in Washington State. Don't know how many lives or if people were crossing, and I can only assume because cars and people hit the water. I've been over that a few times in my life. It's actually a small bridge. It's north of Seattle. Cars, etc., like I said, it's a four-lane bridge. Collapsed about 7 o'clock. There wasn't any real, like I said, estimate of how many people jumped into the water, fell into the water, were part of those that were in the cars, or even the amount of people who may have been hurt or even, God forbid, killed in this. What caused the bridge to collapse? It, you know, 60 miles north of Seattle, don't know that yet at any point. Some people just described it as all of a sudden they were, you know, if somebody's walking on the other side, they look over and they see this bridge start to just smash or start to go into the water. So some of the cars are in the water, some are submerged, some are partly above the water. A very strange, strange sight. I looked at a little footage of an overhead helicopter shot, and it showed rescue boats and just some mangled steel from the top of the bridge. There were ambulances on the shore and whatnot. This is a bridge, by the way. We've just quickly trying to dig up something on it. It was built in the 50s. And remember, we have had some accidents with bridges. They're talking about how sturdy it was, and they rated bridges, if you remember. And 100, of course, being the best. And the rating for this bridge in Washington, 57 out of 100, 57.4. The county has about 100 and some bridges that are 50 years or older. You know, you start to hit 50, that's where it gets really shaky. Any engineer will, especially built then, any engineer will tell you that. But anything we learn, obviously, we'll pass that on. Sad. It's tough when you're on a bridge and then all of a sudden that it collapses. You know, there's not much forewarning there. How are you going to have any idea if this bridge is reinforced and that it's a, you know, you've been traveling over it, how many cars travel it over it every single day with rush hour in the morning and rush hour in the afternoon. 7 o'clock is right at the tail end of that. 7 o'clock Pacific time, like I said, is right at the tail end of what would be pretty busy for that area anyway. Big news on the day was the Prez, who decided it was time that he talked terror, and he did just that. He talked about a couple of different things. He delivered what the White House is calling a major speech on national security at the National Defense University, and he's saying that reading into what he was saying is the war on terror is over, but there's still some things that we have to talk about, like drones. And here's what the president had to say, just little snippets on drones.
In a passionate defense of drone strikes, President Obama is insisting they are legal and extremely accurate.
We are choosing the course of action least likely to result in the loss of innocent life.
But under a new policy directive signed yesterday, the president says the U.S. would prefer to capture terrorists.
The president talking about focusing a lot of the speech on Gitmo, on the U.S. drone program. He's pushing to close Guantanamo, and he's also pushing to talk about drone strikes, saying they're legal, they're effective, and they save American lives, since you don't have to have boots on the ground. And says, you know, drones are pretty much, this is what it is. Drones are here to stay is, I think, what I would have read into that. But remember, after admitting that 4 Americans were killed, and this all goes back to Anwar al-Awlaki, that the White House just got pummeled, and Obama got pummeled for killing Americans with drones. Rand Paul is the guy who, we talked about this in our last show, filibustered and ultimately got the information that he wanted to get from Eric Holder, the Attorney General, on whether or not Americans could just be targeted. The president could just wave the order, the executive order, and somebody on our soil could be taken out by a drone. So the Attorney General said, no. He came back and said that wouldn't happen. And Rand Paul, like I said, got his answer that he couldn't seem to get before that. So there was a big defense of the drone program, a push to close Gitmo, and he talked about the counterterrorism policy, and then it's all about pulling it apart after that. I think the closing of Gitmo will cost a fortune, and then where are you housing the people that are there, and then what happens in between the other countries where these people were from, Yemen, Pakistan, they don't want them back. So that become our property, our problem. The Justice Department says we can try these people smoothly, including, remember, that was Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and his band of men that were part of the 9/11 attack, and what a mistake that would have been, because New York was all for it until they found out they had to pay for it. Then they decided, oh, the millions it would cost to pay for the defense, in other words, having key police officers set up in areas where they would have to be around the courthouse, and this being just a stone's throw away from where Ground Zero was, maybe not such a good idea. Might not be such a good thing to do now at this point. I have one catch-up item for you, too. We'll talk more about the president's speech as we move along, as I said at the top, talking to Luke Vargas. But the IRS, everybody wants to know what's the deal with Lois Lerner. What's up with her? She refused to testify. She took the Fifth, and then she also, it came out, refused to resign. They really were putting pressure on her to step down, and she wouldn't do it. So this is what happens. The we're paying her salary, and she's making a whole lot of loot. This is the woman that takes the fifth, was the person in charge in Cincinnati when all of the Tea Party conservative groups tried to get tax-exempt status, about 500 of them, and they were given the big runaround. So Charles Grassley, for one, is saying, well, I don't understand this. The new acting IRS commissioner asked for her resignation. She refused to resign. She then was put on administrative leave. So now, because this isn't resolved, then because of this whole targeting thing, she's getting paid. So Lerner wouldn't do that. She was asked to resign. She refused to do that, so she's still getting the salary. And I think that there's going to be some interesting things that come out of the what action is taken against her, because she was the one in charge. I mean, if you're the person in charge, if you're handing out the memos, if specifically your people are told not to to grant tax-exempt status or to ask really hard, crazy questions you don't ask of anybody else, and to keep digging and throwing back applications, I mean, come on, what else is left to say about that? So now she's on leave, she's getting some cash. I think she's going to ultimately go, because she's at the heart of this. She's the eye of this hurricane. She was the one in charge, period. She was the one in charge. And now other things have come out about her and people that she's targeted in the past, the Christian Coalition, while she was at the FEC, and that's public record. You can look that up. That's easy to find out. So she has a history here, and now that it's spilled over into politics, someone forgot to tell her that Citizens United, the Supreme Court, decided on Citizens United, and it means that, yes, you can pump money into campaigns, but that changed people applying for that status, meaning corporations, et cetera, were part of that fray. And somehow, some way, she decided to, you know, she decided to circumvent that. It's interesting because Karl Rove, this is such a layup for him. Remember, American Crossroads was really his pack, and he says he was targeted by the IRS, that they filed for 501c4 status, and 3 years later, it still hasn't ended for them. That their application could be suspended. It was among nine different organizations whose information was leaked to a liberal investigative site, so it was pumped out there. And he said he wasn't surprised by that because there were already thinly veiled references all over the place. You're going to love our next conversation. It's with Tom Fleming. He's a historian who's written 50 books, and this one is really, really good, on the Civil War, an aspect that kept the nation polarized. Stay with us.
Springtime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at HerbalHealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's spring specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fam and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best-selling liquid CalMag Vitamin D, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for spring at HerbalHealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at HerbalHealer.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
The location, Denver Convention Center. Timeline, June 27th through 29th, 2013. The event, the Doomsday Expo. Our world and nation are changing. It's time for an educational experience that will enlighten you and the entire family at the Doomsday Expo, June 27th, 28th, and 29th at the Denver Convention Center. Check out the latest survival products, learn valuable survival techniques, meet other preppers, and meet guest speakers, including Dr. Joel Wallach, Scott Hunt, Jay Blevins, and more. Boost your knowledge with seminars on natural disaster preparedness, long-term prepping, survival gardens, self-defense, off-grid living, and financial planning. Ladies will get a valuable female perspective on family defense and preparedness. There's even a casting call for Nat Geo's Doomsday Preppers, and everyone will enjoy the first dry food cook-off. Tickets are just $14 for all 3 days and a Saturday evening concert. Mark your calendars for June 27th through 29th and get all the details at doomsdayexpo.com. Doomsdayexpo.com. Preparation starts here.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Welcome back to America Tonight. There's a new book out. It's called A Disease in the Public Mind, A New Understanding of Why We Fought the Civil War. We often talk about the Civil War when we're talking about wars and the perspective and the casualties. We just had a huge discussion about Gettysburg. So pleased to welcome to the show Thomas Fleming. And I know most of you know Tom's name. He's absolutely, I would say, a fixture among American historians. He's the author of more than 50 books, including this one. He pops up all over the place. You might catch him on the History Channel, PBS, A&E. Who knows where he's going to pop up next? We know we have him here right now, though, on ATN. Tom, thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, I'm glad to be with you, Kate.
All right, so the title, A Disease in the Public Mind and A New Understanding of Why We Fought the Civil War. Flush that out for us.
It's an idea that hit me years ago when I read that the President of the United States, James Buchanan, said that John Brown's raid on Harper's Ferry, which was an attempt to organize a slave army to attack the South, he said, this is the product of a disease of the public mind. And I said to myself, what in the world does that mean? So I started doing some research, and I found, number one, the public mind is a term that was used by Washington, Lincoln, all sorts of politicians back in the 19th and 18th century, and also right up until the 20th century, too. The disease idea is that the public mind has fixed ideas about things, but if it becomes disease, there are these distortions of reality out there, hatreds and fears. Those are the two big things that get everything out of control, and that's what this book is about: how these diseases got into the public mind of the North and the South
different diseases and caused this terrible tragedy that we call the Civil War.
Yeah, the disease between the North and the South, that was building for a long time. And was there nobody that could break that? Because Lincoln tried, but he didn't have
to. Oh, he tried so hard, Kate. That's the climax of my book, is how Lincoln tried again and again to break through this thing. And he couldn't get them to drop their guard, you might say. And they clung to these two diseases that they had. But he wanted to, Lincoln had a plan. He wanted to compensate the owners for the slaves and gradually free them. By 1890, according to Lincoln's plan, there would be no more slavery in the United States. But he couldn't get anybody to agree with this.
And as part of that, and you talk about this in your book, you talk about New England and the whole, you know, the North, but the power in New England, that there was massive envy. They really had a hatred for the South. Was that because of some of the wealth and things that were being produced in the South? Was that part of it?
Well, not really. Their hatred of the South went back, way back, to the days when Jefferson bought the Louisiana Territory. And the South said, the North said, the New Englanders said, we object to this. They tried to block that purchase, which was a third of the continent. But this, it shows how competitive they were with the South. And they knew that this huge territory would be populated mostly by Southerners, and they'd be reduced, New England would be reduced to a minority. And they had this image of themselves as, we're the guys that started the American Revolution here in Boston. We should be the rulers of this country. And anybody that tried to take that away from them was sort of the enemy.
Yeah, you talk about, too, the fanatical John Brown. What role, I mean, how big was his role in all of this in igniting the Civil War?
John Brown, his role as a human being was not that large, but his timing was horrendously, if you want to use that term, if we look on the Civil War as a tragedy, it was is horrendously apt, right on target. He raided the Harper's Ferry Arsenal in 1859, and the man who captured him and dispersed his little band of true believers was Colonel Robert E. Lee. Not many people know that. Mm. And so Lee then went out to Brown's headquarters in Maryland, right near Harper's Ferry, and he found that six wealthy Northerners, most of them from Massachusetts and one from New York, had financed this whole venture. And that was what started the Civil War. It wasn't John Brown himself. It was a discovery that these people had started, that these people were willing to finance a madman like this who believed that without the emission of blood, there is no forgiveness for sin. And he said slavery was a sin. So this discovery, that Lee made this discovery, is really, we're putting our finger here on one of the chief reasons why we fought the Civil War. And could I add one more thing, Kate, that I meant to say earlier?
Sure.
The reason why I wrote this book is we are the only people in the whole history of the world who fought a Civil War and killed a million men to free our slaves. All the other countries in South America and in the West Indies, they freed their slaves peacefully. And so this book is an inquiry into why we weren't able to do that.
Yeah, was there no, you know, some people will talk about the persuasion, the feminine persuasion, but that wasn't in play, it seems, at all.
No, it really wasn't, no. What was in play was another factor that I think is, if I may say so, more or less original with my book, and I call it Thomas Jefferson's Nightmare. Jefferson hated slavery, but he also feared the idea of feared freeing the slaves. And shortly after he became president, he agreed to let the French send an army to Santo Domingo, an island that they half of which they once owned, and they wanted to restore French rule. Instead, it turned into a disaster. Their army was destroyed by yellow fever, and they had to finally retreat off the island. And the only man left standing was this black general, Jean-Jacques Dessalines. And he was so enraged at the French by this time, a year and a half, and thousands of people had been killed. He marched his army across the island, and he killed every white French man and woman. And that was what turned Jefferson inside out. And it became a disease of the public mind in the South, this fear of a race war.
And so a million people, there was a million deaths. It's brother on brother. That even that couldn't break the code. Do you think with the...
When Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation announcing that all the slaves in the seceded states would be freed, he preceded this proclamation with a final appeal saying, please consider this. I will pay. He was willing to pay $4 billion to the owners of these slaves if they would accept compensated emancipation, and he couldn't get them to do it. Instead, they attacked him. Okay, this is the thing that really scared me when I was reading the editorials in the Southern newspapers. This one in the Richmond Enquirer was one of the biggest newspapers in the South. They called Lincoln every name you could think of, and then finally they said, let's just settle on calling him the fiend. He wants to kill the South's women and children. And there it was. The disease of the public mind, this fear of a race war, was distorting the president's offer completely. Yeah. And it just breaks your heart to see these things.
No kidding. Why do you think it is, Tom, that, you know, you're in good company. We have some wonderful American writers, historians. Why do you think it is that nobody really has really dove deep into this and flushed this out, or they're not willing to admit it, I guess, maybe?
Oh, I think other people have done it. I'm not saying, you know, I'm totally original. I'm a genius or anything like that. But I wanted to focus on this aspect of it because I thought that the idea of realizing that both sides had these diseases of the public mind, that gives you a feeling, I think, it gave me a feeling of forgiveness for both sides. And the final chapter of the book, Kate, if I may say so, is I've written a lot of books, as you already mentioned. This is the best thing I ever wrote. Lincoln goes down to Richmond, and the town has just been captured, and he walks the streets, and the city is a total wreck, and black women and children are cheering and thanking him and so forth. And then on his way back to Washington, he starts talking about how he wants to heal the wounds of the war. He wants to reconcile North and South. And Mary Lincoln, his wife, as they approach Washington, she points to the dome of the Capitol, and she says, "You have enemies in this city that won't let you make this peace of reconciliation." And Lincoln smiles in a sad, mournful way, and he says, "Enemies?" Well, first of all, let me say, he smiled in a sad, mournful way, and he knew he could do it. He was confident now that the war was almost won that he could do it, and he was ready to try. And his answer to Mary was, "Enemies, enemies. Mary, we must never repeat that word again." And that sums up the hope of my book, that we can take this idea and bring it into our century, that we won't have any other Americans who are enemies.
Boy, and you see it. You know how polarizing the country is, Tom, right
now.
That's
exactly what I'm thinking about. And I think this book could be at least the start of ending that kind of polarization when we see the sacrifices that we made in the Civil War as a result of the polarization of the two sections, and how Lincoln, he literally gave his life to try to solve it.
Yeah. Thomas Fleming, what a delight. Pick up this book, folks, The Disease in the Public Mind, A New Understanding of Why We Fought the Civil War. Good luck with it. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you, Kate. I enjoyed every minute of it.
I did too. Thanks, Tom.
God bless the army and God bless our liberty. Dadgum the rest of it all.
Time. time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Gardeners, here comes another growing season, but don't use last year's soil. Maximize yields in your survival garden with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 is an organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant that provides a broad spectrum of beneficial microorganisms, enzymes, trace minerals, vitamins, and various organic acids. EM1 helps regulate the soil's pH level and its soil microbes, improving moisture retention and drought tolerance. Remember last year's dry conditions? EM1 from Terraganics is safe, chemical-free, and certified for use on all organic farms. It improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, and gives up to 20% more nutrient value in fruits and vegetables and greatly increases shelf life. And EM1 is so simple to use, just mix with water and apply. This year, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanix.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics, life's getting better.
Being prepared against possible food shortages and economic collapse is not complicated. Just remember two words. Disaster. Stuff. Add.com after those two words and you've got just one site for all your preparedness needs. DisasterStuff.com prepares your family against food shortages with Linden Farms freeze-dried foods in buckets or Gourmet Reserves freeze-dried food in number 10 cans, both with free shipping. Purify and rid your water of contaminants with a Big Berkey or other Berkey system and get free shipping plus a water level spigot or fluoride filter at cost. And protect your radios and other electronics from EMPs with our EMP Faraday bags, starting at just $5.90. When the food shortages and economic instability happens, be ready with all your stuff from DisasterStuff.com. Just remember two words, DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
Tonight, before we check out for this hour of the show, this is a big one, the census. Do you ever participate in the census? Well, of course you do in some way. So we think we know how many people live in this country. Well, sort of, right? Anyway, Chicago gained about 10,000 people from, they say, July of 2011 through July the following year. But did you know that it was the slowest growing city in our country? Not shocking. Why do you want to live in Chicago? There's no place to live. You're stacked on top of each other. It's a great city when it's warm. It's got a terribly long winter season, and it's so expensive to live there. Plus, they are taxing you through the eyeballs in Illinois. So it's the second year in a row that the population grew, but not making up for loss of people who have left. They've lost like 200,000 people in a 10-year span. So it's one of the slow-growing places. What is interesting is comparing this to a couple other cities. Chicago still is number three. So if somebody said, well, what's the biggest city in the United States? We know what that is, right? The biggest city in the United States is New York City. Los Angeles right behind them, then Chicago. lots of cities in Texas are becoming attractive to people because there's massive growth in Houston and in Dallas and even a little bit in Austin, Texas. I think it's for some people, it is a matter of what you can get for your dollar. And then it's the jobs. It's jobs and sometimes even the whole income tax deal, although you make up for it in sales tax. So people are leaving Chicago. This is another good one to throw at you, too. Check this out. Check it out. Sunday night, we are all huge football fans here, aren't we? We do our nail the score thing during the football season. So, so fun. If you've never participated, do it this year. Pick the game of the week. You decide who's going to win that game and what the final score is going to be. If you correctly nail the score, you win the prizes. Who won the prizes for the top-rated show? That would be Sunday Night Football. They were pulling in big numbers. In fact, talk about kicking butt. All 19 broadcasts on Sunday night, which would have started in the beginning of September and would have wrapped up at the tail end of the season, 21.5 million watched. So if you wanted to compare that to primetime TV, NCIS 21.3. That's pretty good. We are a football nation, aren't we? So number one in the rankings. Then you to go behind all the NBC broadcasts, you'd have to look at, well, NCIS, and they have huge ratings. Big Bang Theory would be another one that has pretty decent ratings, so they're up there too. And we won't go through the rest of them, but I thought it was a good check it out because it just verifies that football rules, definitely. All right, moving along from the census, people leaving Chicago to people watching Sunday night football to this one, talking about the markets. Everybody wants to know. It's like legalized gambling. I love it when people ask me, well, do you know any hot stocks? Are you kidding? Sure, I can tell you what I've seen that's working well, and then it could crash the next day. We are all, ladies and gentlemen, at the craps table, even if you think you have the inside track on something. So for the past few months, the market has been really sizzling. The Federal Reserve has been in front of the markets because of the stimulus, because of the monetary stimulus. But now they're talking about reducing support by getting fewer bonds. So that means trading will get a little bumpier. That means the market could rock a little bit. The S&P shot up big time this past week. And then, you know, I think a lot of buy ups and then off will be with the sell offs. So it's going to start to get maybe a little bit wobbly. You might see that we have a little bit of a pullback. You get a little jittery when you start to talk about things that are, as they're unwinding things in June. Summer's always kind of dicey anyway. So just keep that in mind when you're figuring out that $10 that you have that you're trying to turn it. Maybe you split the difference somewhere in between. How does that sound? So check it out. Keep your eye on the markets. How about this wild story about this? I happened to come across this somewhere. Somebody sent me a link to it, I think, about this doctor who is a pro-life physician from New Mexico. But before he jumped into the pro-life side of the aisle, he used to be a guy who performed abortions. And his name is Dr. Anthony Lavatino. And Lavatino, they say, did 1,200 abortions, some of them after 20 weeks of pregnancy, which we know is a no-no. And his daughter, after his daughter was killed in an automobile accident, he had a change of heart. He reevaluated how he felt about abortions, and he stopped doing them. So he went before a congressional committee and said, listen, you should support this bill that's sponsored by Congressman Trent Franks that would ban abortions nationwide after 20 weeks of pregnancy. And he went through various reasons why, but he's been on now both sides of this and talked about complications and, you know, that kind of thing, and threw his weight behind why saying that what he saw in second trimester abortions, the things that were used and the practices when he first got into practice and how the abortion, he said he called it the abortion industry, how it changed, and they were looking for efficient methods in the second trimester and, you know, all that kind of stuff, and that you could see the baby and the ultrasound and, you know, all of that. So it's interesting that he went from he took a completely different tack in this, and what a U-turn that is, big time. He says he managed hundreds of cases by terminating pregnancies to save mothers' lives, and he said in those cases, as part of his testimony, the number of unborn children that he had to deliberately kill was zero. So, I don't know, 20 weeks, I think that's a worthy bill. No matter where you sit on this, I think there is a limit to safety anyway, no matter what, baby-wise, mother-wise. So 20 weeks seems pretty doable to me. This is, check it out, this bridge that we talked about earlier. They're saying no one's died, but they're still searching for survivors just to make sure, because the Skagit River Bridge between Burlington and Mount Vernon collapsed. This happened just after 7 o'clock. Of course, you had cars in the water, you had people in the water, you had a pickup truck pulling a tractor trailer at the wrong time that fell off the bridge and into the water, but the people there were rescued, so there was rescue boats that responded pretty quickly. There were other people in boats that came over. There were divers that showed up. There were crowds of people lining the river trying to help people, which is a good thing because they were able to pull some people to safety that were panicking a little bit. So the NTSB, always on the scene when this happens, they're investigating how it collapsed. The bridge, safety-wise, wasn't rated very high. You know how they checked the bridge for to see how strong it is, in other words, and if portions of it needed to be shored up. And they found that the bridge, on a scale of, you know, 100 being the best, fell in the mid-50s. So that's not a good thing. The bridge is also a little bit older. And this happened about 60 miles outside of Seattle. So the good news is, so far, they have not found had to pull any bodies out of the water. That may be a very, very lucky thing. When a bridge goes down, if someone's in a car, they could get trapped. I mean, I don't have to paint the picture for you. I think all of you pretty much get it. Hey, if you have any thoughts on the show, share them with me. AmericaTonight.net. Click on contact and you are in.
Organic, the Pureganic Companion ebook and cookbook sets a new standard for purity in our diet with a 100% toxin-free lifestyle. It's time for an American renaissance in health and quality of life. This book is loaded with simple methods to holistically eliminate disease, original recipes, a 30-day diet plan, and much more. Purchase now at PureGanicCompanion.com. The Pureganic Companion, the preventative maintenance manual for the human body.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, and carting to a private bank, having it led back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.